This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
There is an old saying which reads, "Unbelief does not rise from the want of evidence as much as from the want of will to believe." We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open this service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray with that biblical character who once said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Holy Spirit, we realize that it is you who can create faith in our hearts, who can cause us to reach out and to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to live with you. I want you to live in my heart." And so today, O God, as we examine how Jesus dealt with the religious people of his day, we may make the application and see that the same Lord is yesterday and today and forever the same. Hear our prayer and bless this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you.
Friends in Christ, One of the greatest mission fields today is found among those of us who belong to a church, but do not always enjoy the full personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that He would like us to have. Our text today finds Jesus carrying on a discussion with the religious people of His day, and we notice how their religion has become very burdensome and judgmental and negative. This is disturbing to our Lord, and so He says to them in conversation, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." What a blessed truth that our Savior gave to those people, and He gives to us today. Just look at it. If we trust in Him. Now, these are the words of Jesus Christ. No theologian, Jesus Christ Himself. If we trust in Him, that's a promise, we will have eternal life, and we will not be condemned. To think that we can walk through life, friend, and realize that we can have the full assurance of our salvation. And then we can learn this, and He gives us that picture, that we have crossed over from death into life. I have just come from a funeral. How wonderful it was to hear the good pastor speak in such a dynamic way that this person who has died in Jesus Christ has passed over from death into life. So Jesus, when He saw the people there with their burdensome religion, asked them a question. "If I have so much to offer you, why don't you believe me? What is it that holds you back?" He goes on in the text that is ours today, and I'd like to read that for you right now, in this fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 31. "I testify about myself. My testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." As you ponder these words, and I have done a lot of pondering there the last hours preparing this sermon, you see that we are not left without evidences that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Neither had the people of His day. For example, one of the evidences were great preachers who stood and told them who Jesus Christ was and why He had come to this world and what He could give them. One of these great preachers Jesus mentions here was John the Baptist. He was a person who had become extremely popular. The people came out from the city to hear him, and he was out there preaching and baptizing unto repentance. But John the Baptist was quick to hurry on and say, "I am not the Messiah. I am the one who goes before him. I must decrease, he must increase. I am just an ordinary man." But as Jesus passed by, he pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Now, regarding his ministry, Jesus said that John the Baptist was a light. But after a while, his lamp dwindled, and it went out. And John the Baptist was no longer with them. We know what happened. Herod had him put to death. And the voice of John the Baptist was silent as far as this life is concerned. You chose that light, Jesus said, for a time. Every human voice gradually dies out. You can long to have him back again, but it's gone. It's gone as far as this life is concerned. But it has left behind great testimonies. Just think of that testimony that John brought. He must increase, but I must decrease. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. A second evidence that God had given to them was the miracles of Jesus. And he said to them, I have a testimony weightier than that of John. I have done these miraculous works in your midst, that you might know that I am divine. I'm not just an ordinary person. In Cana of Galilee, I changed the water into wine. Right here nearby Jerusalem, I raised a paralytic, told him to take up his cot and go home. And you criticized me because I did it on the Sabbath day. Nearby here, I fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. These are miracles that not only dealt with the person of the day and tried to bring him or her or the crowd some help, but it was to show who I really am. This is one more evidence that I am the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Now Jesus says, why don't you believe me? You have the evidence of great preachers. You have the evidence of these miracles that I have performed. There is another evidence that you have, and that is the scriptures. And he said to these people, these religious people, it is not that you do not live in the scriptures, for you ponder them, you study them, the text says, but you do not give heed to what they are saying to you. Now, obviously, he was referring to the Old Testament. And there they had gone over some of those books that, I don't know about you, but when I read the book of Leviticus, I'm kind of anxious when I'm done. I'd rather go to the book of John or Luke or whatever it might be. Here they had to deal with these laborious ceremonial laws, how they were to conduct their sacrifice, on what day they were to worship, how many steps they could take, and so forth and so on the Lord's day without it being a sin. But they also had the prophecies. And there were the prophets who said the Messiah is coming. And in detail, they pointed out to them that he would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and with his stripes we would be healed. There was one prophecy after another. They studied them, they pondered them, and then Jesus stood in their midst, and they would not accept that he was the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so again, he asked them the question, when God has so much to offer you, that he can give you the promise of eternal life, the forgiveness of your sins, and the assurance that you are his forever, why? Why, my friends, Jesus said, don't you believe in me? Bishop Ryle of the church in England many years ago said this, unbelief does not rise from the want of evidence as much as from the want to believe. That is just as true today. If we want evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, there is plenty of that around us. So let's take this same outline that Jesus used as he dealt with the religious people of his day and deal with it as far as you and I are concerned, the religious people today. And believe me, friend, I include myself in everything that is being said here. for this is primarily a sermon preached to those who are affiliated with an organized congregation. Number one, what are the evidences that we have that can help us out in coming to that faith in the Lord Jesus that is built there in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Number one, in the history of the church, we too have had our great preachers. Now, I don't want to take away from the ordinary preacher, one like myself who plugs along from week to week, but never is remembered very far, and certainly history will forget him completely or her. We have these great preachers, and to my brothers and sisters in the ministry, I am not in any way degrading your great work. I am one of you. But let us hurry on to say that from the very beginning, we have had our John the Baptist too. Look at the history of preaching, and it's very, very rich. Now, some of these people you honor a great deal, and others of them you denounce and say, how can you list them as the great preachers when they have said this or they have said that? I begin with a person of Harry Emerson Fosdick. There was a day when if you visited New York and you were there on a Sunday, it was quite necessary for you to go to that great cathedral there on Manhattan and hear Harry Emerson Fosdick, the great orator of his hour. Besides that, if you wanted to go downtown and hear, this was perhaps a little bit later, hear a preacher who had a more in-depth theology, you could go to hear George Buttrick, the man who stood in a great Presbyterian church in the midst of Manhattan and proclaimed the truths of God's holy word, his love and his sovereignty. If you wanted a denominational voice that could lead you, you could find those in every denomination, I'm sure. I was raised on that great preacher of the gospel, Walter Meyer, and the Lutheran Hour. As I've told you before, we would come home from church, but before we ate dinner, we heard Dr. Meyer bringing Christ to the nation, the Lutheran Hour, and everything was still in our home for 30 minutes. When God took Dr. Walter Meyer home, he gave another great preacher in the person of Oswald Huffman, who now has just graduated to heaven himself. What messages they brought, what evidences God gave to us of a Savior who was ours if we would but receive him. And if you turn to other denominations, you had yours too. Not long ago, I turned on my television set, and who was there? A rerun, of course, because he too has gone to be with the Lord, but none other than Fulton Sheen. Remember that great orator and the biblical truths that he brought? How you of his particular persuasion, the Roman Catholic Church, must have delighted to hear him with all of his robes and everything that went along with it. That was somewhat foreign to some of us who were Protestants, but we delighted in his message. God had left behind another great preacher, and those of the Baptistic persuasion and those who really understood the necessity of real evangelism, and I gravitated to you again and again and continue to do so. Who did he give us? He gave us a Dwight L. Moody. He gave us Billy Graham, who has preached probably to more people than anybody else ever has in this whole world. If you're like a teaching evangelist who will feed your soul every single day of the work week, turn to Chuck Swindoll. Is there any better? Or to Charles Stanley, another person whom God has anointed in many ways. These are the great evidences that God loves us. And he's asking us the question, if I show you through the voices of these great anointed people of God who I am and what I have come for, why don't you receive me? The evidence is also there that we have the scriptures. And many of you study the scriptures. Remember now, I'm talking to the people who are in the church. You have well done Bible studies in your church by people who know the scriptures well. And you study the various issues. We've studied the history of the Bible, what each book tells us in the Bible. It's an overview of the Bible. There's a layman in our church, a professor at the university nearby, but not in religion, rather in mathematics. But that man has mastered that overview of the Bible so that anyone who wants to come to that church and hear what he has to say will really never forget what the Bible is all about, what its message is, where it starts, where it ends, and how it pertains to your life and mine. We have doctrinal issues that are studied. We get right down to the depths of some of these things, where we there are trying to find out from some of the best minds and, of course, the Holy Scriptures, what does this really mean? In our particular Bible study that I am conducting right now, we are studying the book of Galatians. And who is our teacher and interpreter? None other than Dr. Martin Luther. We have the favorite subjects of some that are found in the scriptures. The second coming of Christ. I live with a couple of men who have really come to appreciate and to help me appreciate what is going to happen when Jesus Christ comes again. It's an interesting thing to study and to ponder. We have the Bible studies that deal with the assurance of our salvation and how we should live out the Christian life once we are saved, because that's a part of that personal relationship too. We have studies that bring us into the presence of the miracles of Jesus, another evidence. But let me hurry on to say that these miracles that Jesus performed are being performed today too. He's not here amongst us. He's not here to clear the way for those who are sick to always be made well. Oftentimes they are not made well. Oftentimes he takes them home if they trust him as their Savior and Lord to be with them in all perfection. But we go to our hospital rooms and we go to our homes and we pray, O Lord Jesus, if it be your will you please lay your hand of healing upon this person? And we see many times people who the doctors say, I don't know why he's living. All I know is that it has been beyond me. Well, we have a right to say, I know how he's living. God made him well. But we have the miracles that are found also in our spiritual life, in our own life. Just stop and think of what you would have been if Jesus Christ had not come into your life. Now you are a new person. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, but you know what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he means in your life, as he has enriched it in every single way. We know what he's done in the lives of others. I notice people who are walking around as great believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who had no kind of richness in their life before the Savior came to make his home there. These are the miracles. We have the evidence, the great preachers, the ordinary preachers, the scriptures, the miracles. And so Jesus turns to us, and as I began this sermon, so I mention it to you again. He simply looks into our hearts, and he said, now I know you're the religious people, and many of you do believe in me, and you trust me, and you have your salvation. Some of you haven't gotten that far yet. But wherever you are in your relationship with me, why don't you believe in me all the way? And I will make your life more new and meaningful. If I began by saying that Jesus says, why don't you believe in me? I turn it now in just a little bit, and I say, why do we not believe in him? That's a question that we are asking ourselves. The same question that Jesus asked us, But now we are asking ourselves, why don't I? Empowered by the Spirit, give it a big yes, and your life will continue. Lord Jesus, we stand beneath your cross and confess to you that we need you so badly. So in these Lenten days, as we ponder the cross and all that you have meant to us, O God, may it not be just another lesson in history of the killing of a man who knew no sin, but may it be a vital time in our life where you, Lord Jesus, are the crucified one. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. For help in including Christian Crusaders in your will, please contact our office. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, a preview of the Sunday program, as well as many Bible study tools. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.